Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Mark Morabito. He lost his spouse, Laura Lee DeFazio Morabito, on 9/11. Laura Lee was on American Airlines Flight 11, which was flown by terrorists into the World Trade Center. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Well, first, let me just say again that I'm sorry for your loss. I think we should start with an overview of the basic facts of your story, if you don't mind.
Sure. Laura was on American Airlines Flight 11. She was actually the last person to get on the airplane. She was works for Qantas Airways, and she was on her way to a business meeting in Los Angeles, and she was sitting next to two of the hijackers in first class.
And you and Laura Lee were married when and where?
We were married November 6, 1993. We got married in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. We met in Tucson, Arizona.
And where were the two of you living?
I lived in Framingham, Massachusetts at the time, just outside of Boston.
And as you just mentioned, Laura Lee was on that flight for a business meeting.
She was on the meeting. Actually, the meeting got canceled twice, and we just came back from a month-long trip to Italy. And 2 days before her work order, she switched her flight to Flight 11. She was supposed to be on a different flight later on in the day.
And then after that event, you moved to Owasco in this area near where you had grown up. Is that right?
Correct. I moved in with my dad. My dad's from Onondaga Hill. We spent 25 years there, and I was a graduate of West Genesee High School.
Okay. And then in 2007, you finally got her wedding ring and some of her remains back. Is that right?
Yeah, I got a phone call September 12, 2007. Kind of brought me to my knees from a local sheriff, Dave Gould, in Onondaga County. Or Cuyahoga County, excuse me, saying that he had to speak to me or meet me in person, didn't know what it was about, and said it was about Laura. And they finally, after a new DNA testing, they were able to identify her remains, and they were brought back to me, along with her wedding ring.
And had you given up hope at that point of getting anything like that back?
Well, one of the things a lot of the family members learned, like most of the plane was going 542 miles an hour in a building, and a lot of people were just turned to dust, we thought. And that's what we were told. And so it was quite a bit of shock. And just knowing the details about what was found and where she was found and how soon afterwards it was found, her remains over the vast area is kind of it's just unbelievable. But it was a relief that I knew I had something of Laura coming back.
Mm. And the time lag in that was because of the technology change and being able to do this kind of thing?
Technology change. They came up with a new type of DNA testing. They were able to do it. The remains were actually covered within the first week, I was told.
I see.
And they were kept in a storage facility in New York City. Again, as you can imagine, there was a lot of remains of people that they were just trying to put together. I know it's kind of difficult to describe that, but it's something that a lot of the family members we've been going through for 10 years and still going now, because there's still a lot of people who haven't been identified yet.
Of course, it's very important to them.
Oh, it's quite a bit of relief to know that I was able to bring her home and have a proper burial for her. You know, have two funerals for somebody is pretty different, but actually being able to have some sort of final closure with her family and myself, bringing her home back to us, was a great relief to us. And having her wedding ring recovered was pretty amazing. And actually holding that in my hand, if that ring could actually talk, it'd be pretty amazing, the story that would come out of that that day.
And there was a touching column by Sean Kirst in the Post Standard at the time when you received this ring. And you made an interesting comment that I hadn't really thought about until I read it, about not having until that moment anything tangible that you could associate with her life and her passing except for these video images that we've seen repeated so many times. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about that feeling.
It's a feeling that brings you quite a bit of grief, but it brings you a lot of happiness. I know me giving her that ring, what it was like getting married, having the ring on her ceremony, and knowing that it was a part of her, and it's something I can actually physically hang on to from something she was actually wearing that day, how I remember her when I, left her off to go to the airport, what she had on. She had a beautiful St. John's dress on that I had bought her. It was black and it was gorgeous, and she had these beautiful earrings I had just bought her in Italy. We just returned, as I said, and knowing that this diamond ring was partially intact, it was bented, but it actually spoke to me. It could say something to me that I wasn't able to have before, just being able to have it in my hand and hold to it really tight and just understand I had a piece of her with me, and I could finally sleep a little bit better at night knowing that some of her was with me finally, personal things with me.
And there's another aspect of that story, too, that got me thinking, and that is that this peculiar situation that you must find yourself in where, on the one hand, this is a very personal loss. It's a personal experience for you. On the other, it's a historical event for the world, and those things are both true at the same time. And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about how you've experienced that, because it seems like it's very there's a lot of ironies and paradoxes involved in that.
It's difficult to try to express to people because it affected everybody in our nation a lot of different ways. Not everybody suffered a loss, and for a person who suffered a personal loss like myself or an injury, we look at it the same but very much differently. Mm. It's hard to wake up in the morning without thinking about it, because with all the media coverage, it's always in the television, it's always in books, it's a part of history. But you have to pull away as an individual like myself and saying, yes, I am a part of history, but Laura was my wife. And you don't just talk about it, people just talk about it, but it's not more than talking. To me, that's a living person who I was in love with and still in love with, and that was the person I spent my night and days with, and it's just not like a sheet of paper or something like that. You turn and say, oh, on this day on September 11th, this happened. It's a very personal thing, but you want to share it because people want to share their feelings with you. They gravitate towards somebody like me. It's kind of amazing. They feel solace and comfort. They want to touch me. They want to hold my hand. They want to give me a hug. They have to know if I'm okay, they're okay. And it's really kind of a strange scenario, but it helps me, and I know it helps them. But really putting it, it's a very difficult thing to balance on a daily basis, what it's like to go through when you get up in the morning, it's there. You go to bed at night, it's there. But you have to be happy somewhere in the middle of it. And it's a very different type of feeling for me on a daily basis.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Mark Morabito, who lost his spouse in the 9/11 attacks. Well, I apologize, first of all, for the triteness of this question, and you've spoken to it a little bit already in terms of an answer, but how do you think this event has changed your approach toward life and toward death?
Well, interesting question. Towards life, you take every day you can, and you enjoy every day you can. Live it to the fullest. Don't ask yourself, what if I had done that? You know, go ahead and do it. What you can do is say, man, it didn't work out too well. But instead of sitting there going, boy, you know, I never did this, I'm this, and this happened to me, and I never got a chance to do it. So live your life to the fullest. Cynical, yeah. Do I trust my fellow man? No. Will I ever? No. Hmm. They took away my innocence, my wife's innocence. You had a big dream of life that America was great and everything was going to always be cool here and everything would be really amazing. And I didn't live through World War I or World War II or the Korean conflict or Vietnam, really. So I don't know what it was like to live back then. But I grew up in an age of quite a bit of innocence. We were the best and everything was the best. And that got shattered that morning at 8:46 a.m. Makes it difficult for me. I've suffered a lot of health issues since 9/11. I don't usually share them, but I'm 49 years old and I have 18 heart stents, 4 heart attacks, double bypass, and I got a defibrillator that's been put in twice and a pacemaker in the last 2 months.
And they, all these things were post 9/11?
Post 9/11. Everything happened after 9/11. And it's been difficult to deal with. A lot of anxiety. It just, my whole perspective of life's changed completely.
And you said that you've been less trusting than of your fellow man, I think was your words. So that was one of the other questions I wanted to ask was, how has this event, do you think, changed the way that you related to other people and the way that they relate to you?
Yeah, I traveled the world since 9/11. I've been to Europe and I've been to different other places. It's interesting to see how people treat me, they treat Americans in general, and how they react and act towards me and they find out what's happened to me. But I still have a downing trust against people who want to hurt us. I'm very, very well aware of this will happen again. There's no doubt in my mind we'll be attacked again. It's just when and where it's going to happen. And if you don't think that's going to happen, then you're sleeping. But you have to really think of what's out there, who is out to injure us and hurt us because of the lifestyle we have and our ideologies and our beliefs. And it's changed my total concept of how trusting I was in a lot of different ways of how people trusted us or I thought they trusted us and found out they really don't. And you have to be cognizant and aware of what's going on in your surroundings constantly these days, no matter what you're doing.
I want to follow up on a couple of things you mentioned there in a few minutes, but let me come back to another topic here that's related to the one I just asked you, and that is have you come to know any of the families of the other victims since this, or did you tend to stay separated from each other as you were before the attack?
I was involved in a lot of different families of September 11th, mm-hmm. and have made friends with different family members. I was just with a young lady from Auburn whose husband was killed on the North Tower as mm-hmm. the plane, my wife's plane hit there. Mm-hmm. But not as much as I was before. Mm-hmm. Different ideas have changed. People's thought processes have changed. People's concept about what really happened has changed. I've talked to different family members who think this was all a conspiracy and a hoax and everything else. It's kind of interesting as time goes by how people have changed and reacted, and they've changed their ideas towards things. And it's kind of separated me a little bit from a lot of other family members.
I'm Grant Reher, and you're listening to the Campbell Conversations. I'm talking with Mark Morabito. He lost his spouse, Laura Lee, in the 9/11 attacks. She was on one of the planes that was flown into the World Trade Center. Well, this interview program often concerns politics and policy. And so I wanted to ask you a couple questions about that, if I could. And you intimated some things about this earlier. First of all, do you think that this experience has changed your political views in any particular way?
Yes and no. I've seen two different parties act differently towards this, Republicans and Democrats. Both have been in power over the last 10 years, pardon me. And they both acted differently towards it. But I was very much a backer of President Bush, mm-hmm. and I was very proud of what he did. America needed to retaliate, and we did. Do I want it to last this long? Never. I don't think anybody did or thought it would be. Do we need to spend the money that we have? I wish we didn't. But the most important thing is the amount of people, soldiers, men and women that we've lost. It's devastating. I feel terrible for the injured soldiers and the kids who are over there. And they are kids. These kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. They're kids that have went over there and given their lives for our country. And it's just devastating what's happened over the course of the last 10 years.
So using traditional political terms, then, it doesn't sound like you think this event has made you particularly more conservative or liberal in those kinds of...
No, it hasn't. You know, each element of the war that's been going on, and the incidents that took place on September 11th, it was never going to be a win-win situation. And each side was going to sit there and make it work for them or not work for them. And it's just the way it works out. It's just a part of American politics. It's very sorry to see. If they worked together like they did in the first 30, 60, 90 days after the incident that happened, we'd be in a much better place. But then it became a political power shift for everybody, and it's just who was going to get the most out of it. And that was pathetic to see, and it still is today.
Well, that was one of the other things I wanted to ask you about. Do you think that you have a different view about our actions since 2011 in the Middle East than you might have had you not been through this personal experience? That may be a hard sort of hypothetical thing to imagine, but I did want to see what you think about it affecting you in that way.
Yeah, it's kind of it's easy to say because post 9/11, a lot of different things happened in my life and a lot of different things happened over the course of the 10 years. And you can't switch courts all the time. You have to stay with one belief. And that's been very difficult to do because I found myself actually changing beliefs on certain things as time worn out. And we weren't getting anything done, anything accomplished. It didn't appear we were getting things. Only thing we were doing, we were losing soldiers over there, getting injuries over there, and rebuilding. We bombed something and rebuild it 15 times. And I just can never understand why we were doing that and all the monies that was being spent over there. We have a lot of problems in our own country, and we weren't getting anywhere. We just weren't doing anything, and we weren't being respected for helping over there. And those things, you sit there and equate it all together and say, what the hell are we doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're wasting human lives, young kids' lives. These people are going to be injured. They're going to suffer these injuries for the rest of their life. And we were not going anywhere with this. We're not going. What was the final outcome? We got bin Laden. Fine. It took 10 years to get the guy. And, you know, we had millions of dollars in rewards, and we couldn't get him. It took a special ops operation to get him, which was fantastic. I was very grateful that that happened. But it took 10 years. That kind of always sat there and made me wonder, you know, mm-hmm. are we really after Saddam Hussein also? Was that our goal? I don't know. It just seems like our ideas got a little bit screwed up somewhere along the map. Nobody was taking responsibility. We were just losing a lot of young kids over there.
And you mentioned earlier that again, it changed your views about sort of how you see, to use your words, your fellow man and your cynicism, suspicion. Has the event changed your views about the outside world more generally, just thinking about the world beyond the United States?
Yeah, you have to look at it. You know, before, you know, we always, Americans kind of thought we were the focal point. You know, we're the strongest country. We were the most powerful. We were the most wealthy nation. And it comes a little bit of arrogance and cockiness comes with that. And I didn't really realize how many people resented us. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, was our religious beliefs? Was it because of our socialistic beliefs or how we treated our own fellow Americans? I'd never quite understood how many people really hated us for doing what we thought was the best thing in the world, which I still think is the best thing in the world, but just don't quite understand why they don't believe. It doesn't have to be our way, but their way of showing their vengeance against us or whatever is by coming over and murdering 3,000 people that day. Innocent men, women, and children were murdered that day. We forget we get off that a little bit. We say, oh, 3,000 people were killed. No, they were murdered. They didn't do anything. We weren't at war. We weren't carrying weapons. We weren't doing anything. We were just doing our daily routine, you know, going to work, you know, taking care of your family.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and my guest is Mark Morabito, who lost his spouse on 9/11. Well, I wanted to ask you some questions about what things are going on with you now. What are you doing these days? What work are you involved with?
Now, I actually retired after 9/11 due to my health issues. It's been kind of difficult to do what I was doing before. Huh. I was a currency trader, a little high-stress situation, you could say.
Yes.
The first about 4 or 5 years after 9/11, I had a charity event called the Laura Lee Golf Open, and we raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for local charities in central New York here, especially in the Auburn area in Cougar County, for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Matthew House. We sent several families to Disney World who couldn't afford it. We took on some other not well-known charities who needed help, and we funneled our money that way to help them out. There's still the Laura Lee Morabito Scholarship Fund in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, where Laura's from. We give out 4 scholarships a year rewarding students who most emulate Laura and how she felt and her beliefs and ideologies. And I recently got married. I got married 2 months ago.
And
I have a 3-year-old daughter, Julia, who really keeps me active. It's a stay-at-home dad. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life, and it's the shining point in my life these days, my little one.
And where are you currently living?
I live just outside of Saratoga, New York now.
Okay. And I did want to ask you about the 10th anniversary here. Do you have specific plans for the actual day of 9/11 this year, the 10th year?
Yeah, I've done a lot of local media spots for that day, but I will be speaking at in Marcellus, New York here at a group, and also in Auburn on September 10th. And on September 11th at Holland Stadium, they have put a memorial for the 9/11 victims and their first responders that's going on. They asked me to be part of it, and so I decided I would do that.
Okay. Well, this show will air Friday before that, so folks may want to pay attention to that. And
yeah,
go.
I hope so. In Auburn, on Saturday morning, September 10th at 8:30 in City Hall, they have a 9/11 memorial that's being dedicated that day, and also at 6 o'clock at Holland Stadium in Auburn, they're doing a tribute to the first responders and the different type of Army, Air Force, Reserve, and everything that was involved. So that they've gone all out for it, and it's very welcomed.
And I've got finally 3 questions for you here at the end. The first is, what's the title of the chapter of life you are currently living?
Let's see. I'm still here, and I'm not sure why.
And second, what's your worst trait?
Very vindictive.
And third, what achievement in your creative or professional life so far has surprised you the most?
My 3-year-old.
That was Mark Morabito. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me as your guest.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.